This is Monique Truong, and I'm reading from my novel in progress, started here at Civitella Ranieri. Patricio was born hungry. I could tell by the way that he suckled. From the first time that his mouth found the nipple, he was not wont to let it go. His eyes opened and unblinking, watching and daring me to tug myself from him. All babies are born with an empty stomach, but not all of them are born with such need in their eyes. His elder brother, my first blessed one, had to be coaxed and tricked. The tip of my little finger, dipped in honey, was what he would take into his rosebud mouth. Then patiently, I would guide him to my breast, where milk and honey would mix. This soothed him, but it was not enough to keep him. Giorgio shared my milk with Patricio for less than 2 months. I beg of you, do not call them George and Patrick. It is not their names. Their father's language is not mine. Even before I was certain that there would be a blessed second, I suffered his appetite, which was growing in me swift and strong. Patricio demanded the small things from the sea, whelks, which no one sold because the people of Santa Mara, same as the island where I was born, would not buy something that we could gather like pebbles at the shore. Many mornings I would leave my first with old Iota, the only woman on our street with no children of her own, so that I could bend over the wet sand until I was lightheaded or until my basket was full. Patricio wanted them boiled, their spirals of flesh removed one by one. He allowed me olive oil and lemon juice with them, but never vinegar. When there was no longer a doubt and whelks became difficult for me to collect, Patricio thankfully insisted on cockles, of which there were sellers, because cockles were found on the sandbars far from shore, where the tides came in like the hand of God. To lose your life for mere cockles was a curse as old as the sea, and may you never hear it spoken. Like his father, Patricio disliked garlic. He purged me of all foods, even the cockles, that took on its flavor. I would whisper to him that these cloves were the pearls of the land, holding them close to my belly so that he could get used to their scent. But he was not to be convinced. He emptied and emptied me again until I was starving. I soon gave up on the hope of garlic and steamed the cockles open with a veil of water and a thumbnail of shallot instead. Patricio could not get enough of these briny creatures. It took buckets of them to fill us. Then, for the final months, Patricio confined us to raw sea urchins, their egg yolk-like bodies scooped onto chunks of bread. Every day, old Iota had to reserve them from two sellers down by the harbor, to make sure that we had enough. Fatten on this fare, day in and day out, I took on such weight that I could only take a few steps from the bed, moving like an animal tied to a stake. Charles, the father of Giorgio, Patricio, and now the newborn Daniello, was on yet another island, in waters so far away that I truly could not understand the distance between us. He had told me the number of miles before the ship set sail for Dominica. but I find these large numbers as useless as the letters of an alphabet. When I open my mouth, I can choose between two languages, but on paper, I can decipher neither one. My father had told me that if I ever left his house alive, I would enter into the house of God or the house of my husband. In either structure, a man would be present to tell me what was written and what was important to know. My father was not thinking about an Irish man named Charles Bush Hearn when he told me this. My father was not a man of many thoughts. He repeated what came out of the mouths and the books of other men, primarily men of God and men of minor nobility, like himself. He taught my brothers to do the same. They all believed that this made them wise and far wiser than me. To be a mere woman is another curse as old as the sea, and some of us are born hearing it.